into Christmas carols a little bit, but also some traditions that go along with where Christmas caroling came from. Many people take the fact that we sing Christmas carols during the Christmas seasons because of what the angels said to the shepherds, and we're going to look at that for just a minute. We're actually going to read Luke chapter number 2, that very familiar passage of Scripture, all the way down to verse number 12. Luke 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then it says," and this is the verses we're going to look on here a little bit, "and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." And they're speaking to the shepherds, they were watching the field, "and the glory of the Lord came upon them, the angel of the Lord came upon them, they were sore afraid." If you were there and you were watching your sheep and this angel appeared unto you, it would strike fear. Many times people think of when they see angelic beings that they're going to be all happy and everything else, but you always is a very fearful thing, the first reaction. Verse number 10, the angels give a message, and this is a message from heaven, and tonight that's what we're going to look at a little bit through some of these Christmas carols, the message that has been given. "And the angel said unto them, fear not," it's a message of peace, "for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." It's a message that is a soothing message. It's a message of great joy and a great excitement. It's good tidings. It's good news. And so this was something that we must remember. The message of Christmas is good news. It is something that is good news for all. And it says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And that's where the message is, to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And we get to the point there, it's a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So as we look at these different Christmas carols, I like for us to think about those angels that gave that first carol. I know what the first question or comment you might make. You say, "Pastor, they said those words." I understand that. But what has come a tradition over the years and where this has come by, just as the angel came and proclaimed the glory of God and sang or spoke the glory of God to the shepherds, it's become a tradition during this time of year where people will go out and they will sing different truths about the Word of God and about God and Christ himself as he came into this world and was willing to become the Savior for all mankind. And so the Christmas carol tradition, last night our church went out Christmas caroling for a little while, had a good time, and it's great. You see people that are there and they were all singing. I love going into a store and hearing people sing the truths. These are people that don't even know God, don't even know the Lord, and many times they'll be singing Christmas carols and Christmas traditions just because of the fact that there's tradition. But they don't know what they're doing is really giving praise and honor to glory to God. So the first one I want you to think about tonight is that song you have in your green sheet of paper, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." Now, I know this is probably not as familiar as some, but when you come back to the story behind it, it's probably one of the most interesting stories. I'm going to go ahead and read the words that are printed here. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." And then you see where that was inspired from when the angels had said to, in the verse number 10, "The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And it continues on down. And then it says in verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." So we see the inspiration for this carol is from the scriptures, and it's a message of peace, and it's a message of goodwill to men. If you look at verse number 2 inside the Christmas carol, if you notice it says, "And in despair I bowed my head, there was no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. So if you read that second stanza, you're even thinking, where does that apply? How does that work? And here he's saying peace on earth, but there is something that mocks that. You go to verse number 3, he says, then pealed the bells more loud and deep, meaning he heard the Christmas bells again. And this is the message he received from hearing that song. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. I don't know how many of you know who wrote that, and if we were in the hymn book, you could see that, but that was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow that wrote that. He wrote that in the midst of the Civil War, and there's 7 different stanzas. Many of the carols have been changed a little bit to work with our English of today, and many of the stanzas have been taken away. But Wadsworth's life was someone that was marred with tragedy. 2 years before, during the Civil War, 2 years before, he almost lost his son because of tragedy. He had lost his wife. She was doing something with hair and was using wax and fire, and his wife's clothing caught on fire, and he went to try to put it out. First, he used a rug, and then he used other things that are around him. Then he tried to use his own body to put the fire out. It says that Henry Longfellow's facial burns were so severe that he could not even attend his own wife's funeral. Many people think that beard was grown on just for looks, but it actually was grown to hide his burned face, and at times he feared he would be sent to the crazy house because of all the grief that he faced. Now, he was a Christian during this time, and just a few years later, his oldest son went to join in the army during the Civil War. Then while at that army and while serving his country, he was injured. On December 5th, he was shot, and his sons became almost paralyzed. And on Christmas Day in 1863, Longfellow, a 57-year-old widowed father of 6 children, the oldest of which has been nearly paralyzed, fighting for his life during the Civil War, wrote this poem, seeking to capture the dynamic in his own heart and how the world observes, how he observes around him. He heard the Christmas bell that December day and the singing of peace on earth, and he observed that the world of injustice and violence seemed to mock the truthfulness of this optimistic outlook. The theme of listening recurred throughout the poem, eventually leading to that settledness and confidence of hope that God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're here yesterday, we talked about how the first Christmas wasn't special and the idea everything was perfect. How Joseph must have felt having to allow his wife to have her first baby in a stable. How it must have felt for Mary to lay that baby in a manger, a feeding trough. Those would not have been considered perfect circumstances. And so many times people put Christmas time and say, it's just got to be perfect, it's just got to be right. And the only time we're truly going to have peace and goodwill to men is when we surrender and humble ourselves to God. As Longfellow had learned in this, that it was a time of tragedy, it was a time of despair, and around us in the world we live in, there is much tragedy, there is much despair. What do we learn from music? What do we learn from the songs? What do we learn from that first angel chorus? There can be peace. We do not have to be afraid. There can be goodwill to men through God and through what Jesus Christ has done. So the next time you sing, or we get ready to sing, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, I want you to think about that. It was a man that was facing tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. And God used that music and God used those words, peace and goodwill to men, to encourage him to say, you know what, God is not dead and right will triumph in the end. Justice will prevail. We're going to have Mr. Jim come lead us, and I heard the bells on Christmas Day.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head, there is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. and pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to man.
I'm very thankful for our young people. They had a part in our Christmas program just a little over 9 days ago, 8 days ago, and it went really well. But it takes a lot for people to get up and sing, but they've been faithful. They work hard every Sunday night. I'm thankful for the wee little ones that starts all the way at 3, going all the way up to 19. And I know sometimes a 19-year-old really doesn't want to sing with a 3-year-old, or, you know, sometimes, you know, it doesn't seem like it's cool anymore. But I'm thankful for the willingness to serve. I know if you could tell them that, you know, they speak to our hearts. I know they speak to my heart every time I hear them sing. And it's an encouragement to see young people wanting to serve the Lord and young people using their talents and gifts for God. So in our announcement time here, just a announcement here. We will have church on Wednesday night. Always we have a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. This coming Sunday is our New Year celebration day. I know it's December 30th, if it's a day or two ahead of time. But we have a special day that day. Every New Year celebration day, we have a meal right after the morning service. We're having a chili cook-off. If you'd like to cook chili and have it judged, please sign up by tonight. And then also people that like to bring soup or other main dishes, side dishes, desserts, whatever you want to bring. And then we have a 2 o'clock in the afternoon service. We reveal our theme for 2019. Our theme for 2018 has been by faith. And I've enjoyed the theme and looking forward to how God works in our hearts and lives by faith. And also, we will have some fun during the service time. So you'd like to come back next Sunday afternoon. It's probably about 2 o'clock is when it starts, sometimes a few minutes early, sometimes a few minutes later. And we just have a good time with our church family. You're welcome to come and be there and be a part of that. Welcome to come to eat, and obviously welcome to come to the services in the morning. So the next song we won't be singing as a group. The next song, and this is just a very short period that we're going to talk about this one, is Mr. Chambers is going to sing Oh Holy Night. That's still the same one, right? Oh, good. If not, I was going to mess up my thing. So we're not going to really talk about the history in that, but I wanted to show you the power once again of music. Now, back in the way the tradition tells us, back in Christmas Eve in 1871, there was a fierce fighting between the armies of Germany and France. Now, this song had originated in France, but it had been banned from the church for a couple decades. It's kind of an interesting story if you want to go look it up. But because of who composed the song, not because of who wrote it, but who wrote the music for the song, they had banned it for a little while. But the people loved it so much they began singing it and continuing singing it for over a few decades. And then while they were fighting in a war, it says it was during the Franco-Prussian War, a French soldier suddenly jumped out of his muddy trench. Both sides stared at the man like he was crazy. He boldly standing with no weapons in his hand or at his side, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and began to sing the first chorus of O Holy Night. After he completed all three verses, a German infantryman climbed out of his hiding place and answered with Martin Luther's song, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. And so I thought it was kind of neat how you see music. And because of that, it says that fighting stopped for over 24 hours and that they celebrated Christmas together. Now, here's a thought I want to put with this song. And it talks about, oh, holy night, oh, holy night. But a little bit later down, it talks about fall on your knees. And it's the idea of worship. And the things I love about the Christmas story, you see worship is happening. You see the wise men coming and they come in and they worship when they see the young child at the house. You see the shepherds going and worshiping. You see even Mary and Joseph worshiping God and submitting to his will. And I think that's important that we learn to do. That Christmas time is a wonderful time of year for fun and enjoyment and celebration and for family and for singing and for all types of things. But everything we do should be evolved around this word, worship him. And falling at our knees, it goes back to being humble this Christmas season. As we looked at Mary and Joseph had to humble themselves, how Zacharias and Elizabeth yesterday humbled themselves. Even though they never got their child till later on in life, they still had a good testimony. How the wise men humbled themselves, even with the star might not have been there for a portion of the time. And how there is other people who did not humble themselves, and the other people that did not humble themselves, God was not able to use. So I want to encourage you with this song as you're sitting and you're listening to the song, as Mr. Chambers does a wonderful job with it. Let's consider that. Take time to fall down on our knees and worship him. Take time to have a time in our life, not only tonight. I know Christmas Eve is a great time. It's probably one of the most valuable times in a family's life. And I'm thankful that you're here, because I think it's a way of worship, showing that God is first and foremost in your Christmas season. That's why we do a Christmas Eve service. But even tomorrow, don't lose Christ during the celebration time. We talked about that in Sunday school yesterday. Even though it's very, very easy to leave him out of our service and leave him out of our worship and leave him out of our celebrating, let's make sure that he is still the central focus. And as we hear him singing, fall on your knees, let's remember that's what we're supposed to do in our own heart and mind. And I think there's nothing wrong with doing that physically too, to pray to the Lord on our knees, just thankful for the fact he came that one holy night. Mr. Chambers.
Till he appeared unto men, a upon the earth, a thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born, O night divine, O night, O night divine. Led by the light, a face serenely beaming, with glowing hearts, by his cradle we stand. Led by a light from heaven sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from out a distant land. The King of Kings lay in a lonely manger, in all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need, he guards us from all danger. Behold your King, before him lonely bend. Behold your King, your King, before him bend. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine. When Christ was born, O night divine, O night, O night divine.
Amen. Okay, let's go ahead and get our hymn books out and turn to page 288. You're going to sing that song with us in just a minute. Page 288. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, another familiar Christmas carol that we sing. I know that when we hear the Christmas bells might not have been as familiar, but I know this is one that many people sing. And as you'll notice up there in the top left-hand corner, Charles Wesley is the one who gets credit for writing this, and it talks about, once again, the proclamations that are given by in Luke chapter number 2, and he says, "Hark, the herald angel sings, glory to a newborn king." As I mentioned before, there's times when people would rewrite certain lines. If originally, when it was written, the word welkin, W-E-L-K-I-N, was an old English term for a vault of heaven, and it was Charles' friend, evangelist George Whitfield, who published this carol many years later in 1753, and he changed the words from "Hark the herald angel, hark the herald welkin sings" to "Hark the herald angel sings." I'm thankful for that, because I didn't know what a welkin was until I looked it up. And another thing that you see that's a little bit different, at the original, when it was written in the first stanza, when it says "Hark the herald angel sing," it actually says, instead of "glory to a newborn king," it was written as "glory to the King of Kings." And the discussion became between Wesley and Whitfield whether or not it was written to God the Father or about Jesus Christ, the babe being born in the manger. So it was switched, and the one that's more familiar to us now is the newborn king. And part of the reason why I'm bringing these up is to show us that there's different people that God uses all the time. We see one in the first song that we heard about was done in tragedy. And then we also saw that even on a battlefield, how someone that can sing and cause the heart, that cause to help affect the hearts of man. And I think God can use people. Here, Charles Wesley, after his conversion, immediately began writing hymns. And upon these hymns he wrote over 6,000 different hymns. He did not like people tinkering with his hymns. Many times back then, what they would do is people would rewrite the songs in order to make it work the way they want it in their church, and they would republish it, and they would publish it a different way. And Charles even had written different things, and he complained about people changing his music, and he asked people to stop doing it. And still, George Whitefield went ahead and changed it. And it's a wonderful song that once again talks about the proclamations that the angels made that day. Look what it says again. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild, because that's what God, when he came to this world, provided mercy for us. He extends mercy. God and sinners reconciled. It talks about how that God and man is at odds. That man is an enemy of God, he even talked about in the book of Romans. People don't like to think about it that way, but people are lost and they're at war with God, the Bible's speaking about. But Jesus Christ came and to reconcile sinners back to God. Joyful, all ye nations sing. It's wonder you see that word nations is referring to the fact that what the angel has said is glad tidings. It's good news for who? To all people. And it says, join the triumph of the skies, referring that we should join together with the angelic host, proclaim Christ is born in Bethlehem. So this idea that we are supposed to sing. And when we sing, we affect people's hearts and we can encourage people. I know yesterday as we were walking through the nursing homes, it seemed like the people, many of them were very thankful and many of them were encouraged. I know they don't get to see lots of people, but encouraged to sing the same songs and encourage into proclaiming that Christ is born in Bethlehem. So let's go ahead and sing the song 288, Hark the Herald Angel Sings. And like it says at that last stanza of the first line, with the angels, let's go ahead and sing Christ is born in Bethlehem.
Which verses would you like?
You can sing them all as well.
All four verses, please.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. All angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead say, veiled incarnate deity. Jesus with men to appear, Jesus our Emmanuel here. All the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. While he lays his glory by, born no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Sing glory to the newborn King.
And the last.
Come, desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home. Rise, thou woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now efface, step by image in its place. Sacrifice Reinstate us in thy love.
Okay, let's go ahead and take our Bibles to Psalms chapter number 98, Psalms 98, and your hymn books to page 284, actually 285. Psalms chapter number 98 and hymn book to 285. This will be our last song and our last short message. It'll be a hair bit longer than a couple of the other ones to help us introduce this thought of joy to the world. Now, probably, for me, all the other ones that are one of the most famous songs, I would think Joy to the World is probably the most famous, the one that I know best. I know some people might say Silent Night, some people might say Three Kings, but it's probably one of my favorites. And the author of Joy to the World, you see, is in the top left-hand, is Isaac Watts. Many of you know the story a little bit behind Isaac Watts. He had grown up in church, and he got tired of the church music they had. Back where he was from, there was always the Psalms, and they would always sing it in a way that did not seem like it fit their modern-day version of language. So he went and complained to a deacon, and a deacon said, told a young man, if you can do better, go ahead and bring us something better. So he went home that day, and he penned something. He did not pen Joy to the World that day, but he brought back, and he began writing hymns, and he spent the rest of his life writing hymns, many that we're familiar with and many that are famous. And probably one of the most famous ones and one of the most popular ones is Joy to the World. And it's not unusual to hear that song sung. I know we sang it probably 20 times yesterday as we were Christmas caroling, but you hear it in shopping malls, restaurants, school plays, all those different things. But the inspiration for this Psalms, and this was Isaac Watts' own testimony, is found in Psalms chapter number 98. Psalms 98, let's go ahead and read the whole chapter. Don't worry, it's not a very long one. It says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song." And so when Isaac Watts was writing, that's what he was doing. He was writing a new song. And he says, "For he that have done marvelous things," you know, that's who we worship, the one who's done marvelous things. "His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory." Verse number 2, you see how salvation is revealed. And in Joy to the World, it talks about salvation. It says, "The Lord hath made known his salvation, his righteousness he has openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth has seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise." So next time somebody says you're singing too loud, you can just go ahead and tell them it says to make a loud noise. Sometimes when I sing, they say quiet down a little bit. But it says make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with a harp and with the harp and the voice of a psalm. With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. When it says joy to the world, it's talking about making a joyful noise. It shouldn't be pulling teeth to try to get someone to sing about the one who has done marvelous works for us. It should be something that we would be excited about the opportunity to sing. I know sometimes we try to tell our choirs, especially our children's choirs, they're focused on singing, and they look like they're mad at the world. They don't. No one forces them to sing, at least not that I know. We don't force them to sing. And they're up there, and it don't look like they're happy. And we encourage them to sing, but they like to sing, but they don't always smile. You look at our choir up there, and I love our choir, but there's only a few of them have learned the technique of smiling and singing at the same time. It's like they're up there and they just look unhappy. We don't make anybody sing up there either. It's the my sons might tell you I make them, but I don't make them. But it's the idea, it's a joyful noise. Christmas is supposed to be a joyous time. Why is that? Because he has done marvelous works for us. It is amazing, the God that we serve, the God who has brought us salvation. Let's keep on going. It says, verse number 6, "With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity." Now, let's look at verse number 1 and Joy to the World. It says, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing." You see the natures that were there in the last few verses specifically. "And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing." Verse number 2, "Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns." And you see where the reigning comes from. It says in verse number 9, "Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth." Now, there is a prophetic thing where you see in "joy to the world" is rejoicing in the fact that the first time that Jesus came, but also he did not come to reign this time. He came to die for the sins of mankind. And as you read Psalm chapter 9, number 98, you'll also see in this when it talks about him coming to judge the earth and how his righteous judgment is talking about a future day and a future time where we will stand before God in a time of judgment. And you keep on going. It says, "Prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing." Verse number 3, "No more let sins and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found." Verse number 4, "He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love." And so I'd like to spend just for a few minutes here looking at Psalms chapter number 98. And there's four things I like to see in this. First thing, I want you to see the revealed salvation. The revealed salvation. That first message that was given to the shepherds was one of salvation. You know what? There is who was born. There was a Savior that was born that day. And the city of Bethlehem, you're going to find him wrapped in swaddling clothes. So the amazing thing is that that message was one, look, there's a Savior. And we all need a Savior. Now, it was meant and it was written to, it says in verse number 2, an interesting group of people. It says, "The Lord hath made known his salvation, his righteousness he hath openly showed unto the sight of the," what's that next word? Anybody follow along? Heathen. Now, we would think, yeah, that's what my parents used to call me, but I'm not a heathen. That's everybody else is a heathen. Now, in all reality, when we're looking at someone else, and we might think of someone that is in a remote tribe and someone that is not very educated or someone that does not have many manners or been taught much, doesn't live in a very remote culture, that's someone who is a heathen. But when we compare ourselves to God and we see God in his holiness and we see God in his righteousness, and when we judge ourselves against God's law, you know what? We are all sinners. We are all heathen. We are all in need of a Savior. And that's what he's saying here. It's revealed that "Joy to the World" was inspired by this thought that, you know what? His righteousness and salvation has been revealed, and it was revealed to all men. And that's what it says in Luke chapter number 2 when the angel said that it was for all the earth. It was for all the people. It was for each and every one of us. We were all in need of that Savior. We were all outside the family of God. All of us have sinned. And because of that sin, God sent his Son down the cross to die for us. He was born in a manger and he revealed salvation unto us. The Bible says, "For the grace of God bringeth salvation. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." That little baby was Christ that was destined for the cross, and it was a wonderful gift of salvation, but it was not just for certain people, it was for all. And that's where the reference is there. It was for the heathen. God's been working to reveal this gift throughout all the ages. The angels revealed it. Tonight we reveal it as we sing these songs and as we tell others. Second thing I want you to think about is that word mercy. Look what it says in verse number 3. "He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel." He's remembered his mercy. I'm thankful for a merciful God. And mercy means that I don't get what I deserve. And in all reality, we all deserve hell. People's like, I don't like to think of like it that way. But the Bible says that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And because of that wage of sin is death. That's eternal separation from God. That's what we deserve. But he remembered his mercy. And thankfully, that mercy, it never runs out. In the book of Lamentation, it talks about how his mercy is fresh and is new every single day as a recurring thing. If you set your phone and you have a phone and you put an alarm on there and you have it to repeat every day, guess what? Every single day that phone alarm is going to go off and go off and go off every single day until you change it. God's mercy is even greater. It will never change. It will happen every day. It's every day. It's fresh for us. There will never be any time in your life that God will not be merciful to you. God is always merciful to you. And in this verses here, he says this in verse number 98, "The thing that inspired Watts to write this, it was the salvation that was revealed to all men and how he remembered his mercy." Next thing I want you to think about is righteous judgment. is righteous judgment. If you go down a little bit, it says in verse number 9, before the world, for he cometh to judge the earth with righteousness, shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Now you think about it, God is always just. God is always right. God will always be righteous. And you think about it, when you think about the Lord, and someday we will stand before him. And as I mentioned, we sing this at Christmas time, which is a great time to sing, that we reminded the first time that Christ came. But as also looks ahead in the future, as you see in verse number 4, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove. It's talking about the day that he is going to rule the world and he is going to be king. And just like he came that first time, he's coming again. And just like he came that first time, we can count on it just as much as we can count on him coming again. Just when he comes again, we're going to be standing in him in judgment. Someday we'll all stand before God in judgment. And according to God's law, according to God's word, we're all sinners. We've all fallen short. That's why we needed a Savior. And because of that, he came and he will come again. And someday, as it says in verse number 9, he'll judge us. It says, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth with righteousness. And he will always judge right. He's not going to let something slip by. He's not going to let something slide by. We're all sinners. And unless we come to him through the way of the cross, unless we come to him through Jesus Christ, we will all be cast into that horrible place. And tonight I want you to understand and get this. Christmas was all about his first coming, but it points to that second coming where someday he will rule and he will reign, and all of us will stand before God in judgment, whether as a Christian we stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ, or a person who does not know him personally that will stand before him at the great white throne judgment. Someday we will stand before God and we'll answer this question: what did you do with Jesus Christ? I sent him to this world to die for the sins of mankind. He is your Savior, and you can know him, and you can know him personally. What did you do with that knowledge? Is your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because there is a day that's coming. And inspire him to write the fact that someday he's going to rule that world in righteousness. But are we ready for the day he's going to return? Because we must be ready for that day. We make that decision while we're here on this earth, whether we choose to put our faith and trust in him, whether we choose to turn to God and put our faith and believe completely and totally into him. Last but not least, not only do I want you to see those things, I want you to see the rejoicing melody. The rejoicing melody. All throughout this, and you see especially written in verses 5, 6, and 7, sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together. Now, look at that last word, together. I like that because it's talking about floods. It's talking about hills. It's talking about seas. It's talking about trumpets. It's talking about harps. It's talking about all types of instruments, and how they are all working together to praise and worship the Lord. And I think at Christmas time, we gotta understand what our purpose here is. It's not just to make it that perfect, awesome holiday that no one's ever going to forget and everyone's going to love you for what you've done. No, it's we're working together to rejoice and to praise the Lord. We're using all in one tune, a body of believers to bring joy and to bring joy to the world, but also to bring glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because if that electric piano was playing one tune, one note and one tune, and that piano over there is playing a different tune, and Brother Jim, when he plays his trumpet, and when other people play their instruments, if they're not in tune and they're not playing the same song, guess what it sounds like? It sounds horrible. And when people are singing, and if somebody's singing off tune and off note, it doesn't sound good. But what it's saying here is there's a rejoicing melody because of it's the melody of bringing the hearts together and the expressions of joy, including the singing and playing of instruments, including the joyful noise of this world and the joy that should be in our hearts and the joy that should not just stay in our hearts, but the joy that should be manifested throughout all the world. It's something that we should do as a group of believers, be able to come together, to be able to rejoice in what God's done. I don't want you to lose thought of all the things we talked about tonight. But Jesus Christ came, and the reason for the Christmas story is because he knew that we needed a Savior. He knew that someday we will all stand in judgment, and there was no way to get to heaven. And the Bible says that God commended his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, that means that we are lost without him. Christ died for us, and that righteousness that he judges with, that means that he will always do what is right. He will always convict you. Just as if there was a judge that let somebody off, you would say he was an unjust judge. If the person was guilty, he's unjust. God is not unjust. God is just, and God will always do what is right, but it's only by us putting our faith and trust in him and having his righteousness, Christ's righteousness, will we ever be right before God. Will we ever be able to have the opportunity to go to heaven? So let us rejoice tonight, not just as individual singers, but as a group of a body of believers that have seen what Christ has done for us, and we have put our faith and trust in him, and we sing together. You know what? We can't do that when you're fighting. You can't do that when you have attitudes. You can't do that when there's sin in your life and there's reproach in your life and you're not willing to get things right. You can't do that when you have a problem with one another and you can't get along. And you say, Pastor, you're talking to somebody specifically? No. I'm talking about what I see many times in many churches, that sometimes people won't even talk to one another and people won't even be willing to work with one another. There should not be a person in this world that we can't say, hey, look, can you go help me try to win someone to Christ? He should be able to work together that way, because we should be able to rejoice together and sing together. We should be able to have that joyous melody. There was salvation revealed in this passage of Scripture. You see the righteous judgment and the remembered mercy. But don't forget about that rejoicing. As we leave tonight, let's make sure we rejoice together. Now, I know not many of us have perfect voices and perfect parts and perfect pitch, whatever that is, and perfect tune. I don't know what all those words are. I know what sounds good and what doesn't sound good. But I do know that we can sing together and we can praise the Lord, but we can also lead this place to work together with one heart and one spirit to strive together for the faith of the gospel, for the things of Jesus Christ. So we're going to come and we're going to sing Joy to the World, and then we're going to close in a word of prayer. Mr. Bateman, after that, will you close us in a word of prayer? Let's all stand together. And then after that, we are dismissed. Merry Christmas to everyone. If you're not sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven, and in a crowd this size, especially with people visiting, I'm not saying I'm sure everybody's on their way to heaven. Please come see me after church or see someone you can trust spiritually to help you understand. The Bible says you can be saved and on your way to heaven, and you can know that beyond the shadow of a doubt, that you may know that you have eternal life. Brother Jim, will you join?
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings known, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.